Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mitch LaFon here. Please check out my new podcast, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, every Monday on the Jericho Network here at Podcast One. I'll be talking to all the biggest names in rock, including Andy Summers from The Police, Poison, Night Ranger, Loverboy, and a lot more. Download new episodes each Monday via PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or simply subscribe via iTunes.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House, or as Pops Corolla calls it, Ace on the Roof. I'm Adam Corolla. That's Ray Oldhofer over there.
Yes, I am.
Speaking of Pops, my dad's funny. I told him I had that conversation, or he had that conversation with me. Now that he's 84, he's like, you know what? I'm interested. What's going on? I said, what's going on? I said, yeah, what's going on with your life? I want to know about it. I'm in. This was an interesting revelation. And I was like, well, there's lots of stuff to contemplate here. And he's like, all right, well, I'm in. And he's in, which is interesting. But the thing that's about my dad, he watches the show. He's like, I really enjoy the show now.
He's been critiquing it every time I see him.
he likes the show. Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. And it's Monday at 11 o'clock, new time, new day. We got a good one coming up with Trace Atkins.
Yeah, we do.
But the thing that's weird about my dad, or it's not weird, but it's Jesus Christ. He's like, hey, you know, I didn't know you knew so much about building stuff. It's like, I know you don't know anything because you've never been here or seen anything, but it's what I do. It's all I do. And he's like, yeah, but you really know what you're talking about. And I'm like, yes, that's what I do.
Did you tell him that you've known, like, a lot for 30 years?
No, I don't really go down that road with him. It's just funny how he's having revelations now at 84 years of age. Like, you know how to build stuff. That's no joke.
You know he wants to come in and see the show also, right?
He started to, and then because I don't have a cell phone that works at my house, I was pulling into my garage and we got cut off right as he was pitching something. I don't know what. I imagine it's playing the trumpet. We'll have to figure it out.
Well, I think it's Tool versus trumpet.
That's his bit.
TNT.
TNT. All right. So we like to make fun of the staff around here. And
no!
Rob, God bless Rob, but Rob does some crazy things. Well, Gary does. Oh, man, did I have a great...
Let's differentiate here.
Yeah, Gary Fultard does some crazy things. Boy, did I have a great 1-2 punch on my way in to work. So we're going in. I was going in yesterday to go do our show, our Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff live show. And I got the... I have a driving simulator over at the other shop. Just a seat with a stick shift and a steering wheel and like three screens. you really just use it because if you're going to Portland to the Portland International Raceway and you're doing a race and you've never driven at Portland before, you just want to go.
You can familiarize yourself with the track. That's awesome.
Yeah, I never use it, but theoretically, they're they're kids who are gamers who know Laguna Seca better than I do, just from sitting in their living room in Idaho, playing it
and
on.
And making tons of money off of it, too, probably. It's crazy.
Well, the people selling them the games are making the money. They're not making the money. I mean, unless they're on some professional circuit or something. But, I mean, what I'm saying is they're 15-year-old kids playing Forza Motorsports who are driving, who've driven thousands of laps at Laguna Seca, and they don't even have their learner's permit yet. And they know every corner and the and the racing line and the corkscrew and everything else. So, for me, I need to have a computer and a little kind of stick shift and a pedal and a thing just to get familiar with some of these courses. For instance, I was driving when we were going to when we're going to COTA, Circuit of the Americas, outside of Austin. I was trying to learn that track. Anyway, long story short. So here's comedy. So I say, look, Sean over at the other shop, Armenian Sean, that guy can weld, fabricate, and he'll do anything you want, So my thing is I tell Nick over here, look, buy the cluster that holds the three screens together. It's like a bar with brackets on it. So you can have your concave, not looking at one flat screen in the middle. You have three screens, and it makes it kind of it gives you a fuller experience on the driving the course on the simulator. Buy that thing with the brackets, and then it's supposed to be like a desk mount thing or whatever. Like, buy the cheap one, and then we'll get the post, and then Sean will just fabricate up the extender thing to mount it on the thing that I'm mounting the thing to.
Gotcha.
So we'll do it like we do a lot of stuff, which is go to Amazon, spend $89, get the cheapo mounting whatever that would take Sean half a day to make and cost me way too much money, and then Sean will just do the quickie mount post fab. So
you modify everything.
Yeah, so we take the desk mount thing, and it has this sort of flat bracket at the bottom, and it hooks around like your desk, and they buzz it off the hook around parts and make it flat to mount flat to a piece of plywood surface. And they do a clean job, and they buzz it off, and they clean it off, and they round it over and everything like that. Then Rob sends Gary over to Home Depot to find like a 2-inch sleeve or some piece of metal that'll slide inside the thing so Sean can adjust it and make the height, whatever. Anyway, I talked to Rob yesterday, and I'm like, all right, how's it going with the mount? Bad news. What happened? Well, Gary couldn't find a piece of pipe that was the right fit, for the sleeve. So he thinks maybe they have it over at Industrial Metal Supply, so we're going to go look at that. I'm like, all right, well, that's not that big a deal. No, that's not the bad news. What's the bad news? Gary forgot the bracket we made in the shopping cart. It's 2.5 feet long. It's the bracket he brought in to size the metal sleeve. And when he was done buying his weenie rollers and whatever else he was there, he left that in the shopping cart. And now the bracket is gone. The thing that we customized is somewhere. This is how I get rich. You guys understand how I get rich? This is how I get rich. So then,
oh, poor Gary.
Yeah, poor Gary. You sound like Lynette. Like, poor Gary. Poor Gary. Poor guy who paid for the bracket, had it modified, and then thrown out in the parking lot at the Home Depot. So then,
some guy just collected it for scrap.
Yes. So then.
Oh, no.
So then, I said to Rob, I got tons of metal around here, different flat and corner, different gauges. And I got a ton of stuff. What do we got back here? I don't think we got. And we went around and we walked around And we had the little piece, the little scrap that Gary got at Industrial Metal Supply from the scrap pile that was the same width we wanted. It's what we wanted, just wasn't long enough. So I had it in my hand. And then I just walked over to the back of the shop, and I found like an 8-foot piece
Stick
that was perfect.
Same thing.
Perfect, except for it was threaded at the bottom. It's like Galvi. Threaded at the bottom. I said, okay, just thread in one of those flat mount brackets on the bottom of it, and then just cut it to length, and then Sean will slide the thing over it, and it tightens up with Allen bolts, and now we're done. Why do I have to walk to the back of the shop? Like, what goes
Why
on?
Why did you not see that?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that was amusing. Then this.
Is it up and running yet or no?
Hell no.
Okay.
All right. Then this. I have this fantasy that, like Gary Fultard goes, hey, man, about this week, I took the bracket and I left it in the shopping cart. So what do you say? Just want to knock $50 off this week's paycheck? Which I'm fine with, except for no one's ever had that conversation with me, which is I took your shit, I threw it out in the parking lot. Obviously, you paid for it, and then you paid to have it modified, so...
I feel a little responsible.
Yeah, what's over under, $80, or what are we talking about here? Nah, I've never had that conversation. Here's a conversation I frequently have. Hey, no problem, we'll just go to Industrial Metal Supply and grab another one, Sean will weld it up. Okay, on Sunday, or when are we doing this? No, right now. Like, it's that thing we talk about all the time where it's like the guy does the super shitty paint job and then you go look at it and it's like you can see where every screw and every nail went in and you go, what the fuck? And they go, hey, we'll just get the spackle, re-spackle it, re-sand it, prime it, and paint it again. And you go, yeah,
yeah, should have did that the first time.
I know we can do everything two times. We can do everything two times. Like, I get it. We can bake a lasagna and then take it and throw it on the ground. Like, just go out to the garden and just dump it in the dirt. And then you go, what the fuck? And then you go, we got more tomato sauce inside. We'll just make another one.
The noodles don't take long to cook.
Yeah, we'll just cook up another one. You go, yeah, I'm not arguing over the feasibility of making another lasagna. I'm asking, why don't we just go dump it in the dirt? So, then this one. I think you're going to like this one, Ray. Because you're actually sitting in the middle of the studio, and this one's all studio-centric. Studio-centric. This sounds like a utopia. It's between Valley Village and Sherman Oaks. Studio-centric. I'd live there. So I'll tell you about this one. First, I'll tell you about Blue Apron. Fresh, high-quality ingredients. Less than $10 a meal. New recipes created each week. Not repeated within a year. I think they could do it every 3 months. They really could, especially the stuff's so good. Takes 40 minutes or less. Upcoming meals, spinach and mozzarella pizza with olive, pepper, and ricotta salad, Parmesan-crusted chicken, creamy fettuccine, sweet and sour salmon. All sounds delectable to me. Delivery options to fit your needs. No weekly commitments, so you only get deliveries when you want it. This stuff's good, and everyone is satisfied. We've had a million meals, and Olga whips them up. They look just like the picture. Check out this week's menu and get 3 meals free and free shipping. BlueApron.com/ACE. BlueApron.com/ACE. It is just a better way to cook, people. So... I got over the devastation of my bracket being left in the shopping cart. It's unclear whether it was left in the shopping cart. We tried to retrieve it and it was gone. I obviously have to pay for the retrieval process as well. The second part was we're putting up a couple of TVs. We're not going to remodel the studio, but we're giving it a little facelift.
And studio-centric.
Studio-centric in here. And we're putting a couple of monitors over to the left, my left. And the reason we are is because we found a lot of the time the guests were having to sort of crane their head around and look at what Gary was throwing up on the screen or whatever we were talking about. So we're putting a couple monitors over there. And
good idea.
Yeah. And I do my dog ear, and I dog ear everything, and I even dog ear my studio. It's not a square. It's hexagonal, sort of. The ends are about 26, 27 inches, and they come in. So the corners don't go out and meet. They come across. So you know how I mount stuff. The way to mount stuff when it's tough sledding, like when you want two TVs, smaller, lighter TVs, albeit like 27 inch or something like that, but two monitors to mount, and you don't have much to mount them to, just like a lot of, 32. So says Gary. 32. And you don't have much to, thanks to TCLUSA.com, by the way. You don't have much to mount them to. You do what I always tell you to do, which is take a piece of plywood, goo it up, and spread out that load.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you'd be really surprised what a piece of plywood with a lot of painter's caulks
you
on
could
the back,
hang on it.
And once that gets dried up, you know, provided it's a nice piece and it spreads the load out.
Sure.
So I tell Rob, you know, get a piece, make it about 3 foot high, make it as wide as you need, and goo it up, spread that load out. So I'm talking to him on the phone when I'm driving in to do our show. And I'm like, you got that piece of ply? And he's like, got it. Said, how big is it? So it's like 3 foot tall. I said, all right. End to end. Now, don't make it too wide. If it goes too wide, it's going to catch air. You know what I mean? It's going to catch the other wall. It's going to sit up in the air. Oh, don't worry. I cut it short on each side. Yeah. How short? 2 inches each side. Okay. So we're 2 inches off of each corner on my dog ear. Yep. What studs shall we hit in the wall? Maybe there's one running down the middle. I said, I laid this place out 2 foot on center. The dog ear's about 2 foot, so I don't see why I would put a stud in the middle of a non-bearing wall.
Dog ear.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say that there is no stud running down the middle. Okay. Well, did you check, Rob? No. I mean, not yet. Well, you cut the wood. The wood's 2 inches short on each. I do know where there are two studs.
At the corners.
At the corners. That much, that I'm sure about, because we got a dog ear.
Yeah.
Down the middle, not so sure about. As a matter of fact, I am kind of sure there isn't
probably
one.
Probably don't have.
And I'm not basing this on pictures or memory or a stud finder. I'm basing it on me using logic when I'm building this place. You didn't check, but you still cut it short. What studs?
Why?
We're mounting two TV sets. What are we hitting back there? I don't know. Maybe there's a stud. No, there is no stud. And we know where they are. They're in the corners. Why not just go to the... Why not?
You should just measure corner to corner and then cut it like maybe 3/8 short.
Or an eighth short or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So...
How many pieces did he cut?
Well, the good news is he then... Ripped it in half.
And got two of the, okay.
Got two out of the long ways and then cut that back down. Of course, making a ton more work in the process. And
at least he semi-salvaged it.
Yeah. And it'll be a lot more work in the mounting of it as well, because it could have just been sort of one and done. But we got it done. And we'll put those up soon. But
going to paint them the same color?
We're painting the studio. We're putting up a new scrim, and we're doing a whole facelift. So, but we'll get those things.
It's gonna look really cool, by the way. We had a meeting about it yesterday. They brought over some of the stuff. There's gonna be some really cool stuff.
You got someone else dolling it up?
Yeah, podcast right. One. Yeah, all right. There's a question up there. Let's see. Add additional outlets to garage. Hey, Arnold, 32, Riverside.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Essentially, I got a new home, and I have some outlets already installed with drywall, and the darn garage only has three outlets in the whole garage. So I wanted to see what would be the easiest way, I mean, aside from hiring a contractor, to add additional outlets in the garage.
What are you using those outlets for?
Just light-duty items, a grinder, smaller compressor. Nail gun, some air wrenching. That's about it, though.
Yeah, light duty. The air compressor ain't light duty. That's a draw. A grinder's a bit of a draw, too. But the reason I'm asking is, you know, I was going to tell you just to kind of piggyback off of existing circuits, which I still might tell you to do. But air compressor's a draw, man.
How many gallons?
How many gallons is your air compressor?
I think I'm probably going to use like a 20-gallon, 20 to 30-gallon at most.
You're going to be sucking some wattage with that. When that thing kicks, the number one kicker of breakers is an air compressor. Yes?
Got to be up there.
I mean, air compressors.
I mean, unless you're running something crazy like, you know, a beam saw or, you know, and also your contract table saw can.
That's a sucker.
It's a sucker, too.
So, Arnold, what I would do is I would say to I would really kind of go, what am I looking for in my garage here? Am I looking to really set up a table saw? Am I looking to set up a radial arm saw? I want to get my compressor over here, you know. Am I looking to set this up? Am I looking kind of big picture? And if I am looking big picture,
you're going to need to add.
I might need to get somebody over here and add a couple of circuits and make them dedicated and so on and so forth. I know you're trying to do this on the cheap. I guess, Ray, if you had a circuit, if you had an outlet, and you plugged your air compressor into that outlet and fired your air compressor up, and it was fine, didn't kick any breakers or anything, I suppose you could then sort of pigtail off of that, go 10 feet over,
put
another one, and as long as you didn't have a toaster oven plugged in to that one while the air compressor was on.
Yeah, you'd have to use one thing at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a kind of one thing at a time.
Okay.
But again, you
but if you're going to go through all that work, Adam, I mean, if you're going to pigtail off, you know, throw it over 10 feet, open up the drywall, run Romex, go for it then. You know
well,
what I mean?
What I would,
why not?
What I would do, Arnold, and you're pretty handy, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty handy.
I would do an industrial-style surface mount with an EMT, electrometallic tubing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know
like
what
a
it
rigid,
is.
Like a rigid thing. I'd go with an industrial surface mount, kind of rigid
I
garage
like that
kind
look.
Of thing. I do too. And if you have an electrician buddy or somebody you have a relationship with, maybe if you're looking to do this on the cheap and you say to them, look, I want to work with you. I'm going to mount these boxes. I'm going to cut the EMT. I can even bend it and come down and pop out here and do that. Then you come in and pull the wires and do the circuitry.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to sort of split it with somebody, although it's never going to work. Because the guy's going to come in and go, you fucked up the sweep. I told you to use an LB here, and you put a sweep in here. You should have used an LB. I can't access this shit now.
I'm going to take it apart.
Yeah. I got to do all this shit. I got to charge you extra for that. But, yeah, go industrial. Go surface mount. Don't be digging into the drywall and drilling holes in the studs. Just go with that rigid surface mount shit and make it look good and industrial. And then get your garage
up
and
running. Get the gal boxes and the gal covers.
Right.
They look cool.
Yeah, they look cool. You can even paint them up sometimes, make it look industrial. You know, paint them orange or something, like the covers.
There you go.
Make it look cool.
I like that.
Do that weird gray outlets and switches and stuff.
Yeah.
You go with like the industrial look. All right.
You're done, Arnold. That sounds good.
Donald?
Yes, sir. Adam, get it on.
Get it on, man. What's going on?
Not too much. I've heard you speak about IKEA bookshelves and whatnot in the past. I'm considering a kitchen remodel, and I priced it out through custom cabinets, and it was somewhere in the $15,000 to $20,000 range.
Yeah.
Would you, on your personal residence, use IKEA kitchen cabinets for a remodel?
I would. I don't know a ton about them. I don't know how much customization there is, or is it just a whole bunch of different size boxes and you got to make it work?
I think that's what, I mean,
it's
they
the latter,
do have,
I think.
Yeah, they've come out with a wide array of kind of different options, and they're getting into the more custom type stuff, but
yeah,
it's, you're still, for the most part, just using what they have in stock.
Yeah.
But they have filler pieces now, and,
yeah.
You know, they've got, it's pretty good.
Listen, the fact that you can go that route, and you tell me, Donald, but I'm telling you, you go that route, you save $10,000 right off the top going that route. It
right.
makes it worthwhile to me. And when I say 10,000, it could be 15 or 20, depending on, you know, what you're talking about doing. And considering the stuff is nice now, I say, like in the past, no, but now, yeah.
Yeah, they have soft clothes. They have nice railing systems. They got it now.
Yeah, they got it now.
Yeah, it seems like their hardware is good, but the only thing I'm concerned about is resale value. So if you were going to do a flip for yourself and whatnot, or potentially purchase a house that's finished and whatnot, and you see the cabinets are IKEA, are you going to not look as nicely on that house as maybe something else? Or if, in terms of resale value and whatnot, do you think it would be diminished by the IKEA symbol?
Well, this kind of thing is becoming more and more acceptable as more and more people implement it, and as the product gets better, and as you aforementioned, hardware gets better. And, there was a time in this country where if something said made in Japan, it was considered junk. You know, now it's considered state of the art, you know, whether it's
Absolutely.
A TV or a car. So I don't think the IKEA is going to carry the stigma that it used to. And I hear what you're saying. But the thing about the kitchen is that the chick's going to decide. And
she's not looking for the name.
She's going to walk in. It's either going to look good
yeah.
or it's not. And if it looks good, it looks good. So I would say go for it and literally save thousands of dollars.
And when you were pricing, Donald, when you were pricing out your cabinets, what were they running a linear foot?
She was giving me a price of, I want to say, $500 a cabinet. I mean, give or take, just as a general rule.
A cabinet or linear foot?
Well, I don't know about linear foot.
Because usually guys price them out that way.
Linear foot, just how long, so
right,
10
right,
feet
right.
at $100 is $1,000 or whatever it is.
It was
it's not $100.
Fancy Amish some fancy Amish place or something. They were saying $500 to $600 per cabinet.
Okay, they're doing parking. All right, it's exquisitely expensive, as Chris Maxipata and us found out during last Christmas break when we went cabinet shopping. When the Shecky Green of the cabinet planning world asked this question, does your wife bake a lot? Oh, we've had a lot of comedians
Did you say
roll through
Shecky Green?
We've had a lot of comedians roll through this place, but none have made me laugh harder than the question of, does your wife bake a lot? Boy, that was good stuff. Yeah, we'll always remember where we were. She was pulling out one of those giant self-mixer things that was on its own platform. You'd have to be Betty Crocker to use this thing. Like, it's like, open the door, big old garage hinges come out and a big old self-mixer.
I love that.
On the thing, just boom. Does your wife bake a lot?
Check this out. Hey, wait, has she ever baked anything?
I think, well, this may not count, but Natalia's phone fell in the toilet and we had to dry it out. Matt, would you call? So the oven was, now hold on. The oven was used at a low setting, maybe we put it in rice. Maybe we cook the rice. No, a box of banana bread mix was purchased about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
It's not been utilized yet. And then there's this one, which I don't fully understand this one, which is the tube. The tube.
The
of cookie of premix cookies so you and your family can have the experience of baking together without baking together, which is you open up the tube and you just cut wheels of it about a quarter inch thick and you put it on a pan, a platter, and you put it in the oven, and now these cookies come out, but they're not really your cookies. They're Pillsbury's cookies. And then multiple tubes of weird green and orange stuff to squirt on top of it afterward. Although I don't think we ever got into that. Although I'm grateful because that's kind of bullet dodge for me, because those seem like the weirdest and worst cookies ever, because it's a tube of white shit. You cut it into slabs, and then you take green gelatinous shit and you squirt it on top of it.
They call that icing or something? I don't know.
It's just a way to put like initials or draw candy canes or something, but it doesn't sound delectable to me.
No.
No.
I mean, I remember, you know, Christmas time, my mom would be baking for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Your mom, yeah, I miss her too. I miss her cooking. I miss her baking. So, no, Lynette's going to town on Corolla drinks, so.
There you go.
Give her that. But not a lot of baking going on at the Corolla house. It's academic to me because I'm trying to stay off the carbs anyway. And the kids get enough crap. But no need for the mixing bowl that hydraulically comes up from the center of the counter.
I love that.
It looks
stuff,
cool.
Yeah.
But you go talk to those people, and you're looking at 80, 100 grand worth of cabinets if you're going full custom, whatever in that range. All right. Let's see. I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. Ah, protecting your home should be easy. Well, in the past, it wasn't. Now it is. Now they're Simply Safe. In the past, it was installation appointments, drilling holes, getting locked into contracts, pulling wires, making a mess. Simply Safe. Comprehensive, professionally monitored home security. Do it online. Each system is a security arsenal. Entry and motion sensors, high-def security cameras. Everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and named it Editor's Choice for Home Security in 2014. It's good stuff. Guy was a Harvard engineer. Friends got ripped off. Shopped around for security places. Didn't like them getting ripped off again by the security guys. So came up with his own system. Peel and stick. Up in 20 minutes. Order today. Be protected by the end of the week. So get 10% off right now when you go to Simply, two I's in there, SimplySafeAdam.com. That is SimplySafeAdam.com. Save the 10%. So we had Trace Atkins coming up on the show. Good guy. Got some building skills. Yes, Ray?
Absolutely. Big dude, man.
Yeah, he's all a 6'5 and cowboy boots and a hat. It's a lot of dude. A lot of country star there. And he's the thing that's been cool about the show is everyone has been building all the way through the show.
Everyone's been game.
Yeah,
like everyone's hanging in, and everyone, you know, like he even came up with a solution last night, which was great.
He did?
Yeah. Because part of the angle wasn't fitting. And he was going, Ray, I'm gonna just put a block right here and spread the gap. It won't show the camera.
Wow.
And he was right.
Well, there you go.
Right, let's do it.
All right. So
dig him.
Look forward to that coming up Monday night. And let's say hi to Chris from Pittsburgh. Chris?
Hey, it's Ray. Get it on.
What's going on, man?
Well, I got this house. It was built in 99. And when I take that first step from the second floor, headed down towards the first floor, that first step just does that crunch sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a structural problem necessarily, but I'd like to eliminate that. I wanted to see, do I have to replace the wood? Do I have to replace the risers that are coming up? What needs done to sort of fix that sound?
Yeah. What's on the stairs now, carpet or hardwood?
Yeah, so it's carpeted the whole way up. Only the last two steps, you know, the bottom two steps have some wood exposed that's stained, but those two steps don't crunch. It's the ones closer to the top.
Weird. They have carpet, except for the bottom two?
Yeah, so like the handrail kind of fans out, and where the handrail fans out, the carpet continues
so it's got
straight.
Like a radius, yeah. And then it's
got like a little reveal of
yeah.
The
water. There's really not much we're going to do about this.
It depends like where the riser meets the tread, if you can pull that carpet off, if it's separate pieces. Is it?
The carpet?
Yeah. Let me also
because you can go,
that.
It goes over and then it dives in. They tuck it.
Yeah, but
and then it'll go another piece.
You're saying, can you start at the top and
roll
some of the carpet
off.
Out?
Yeah, because then you could just screw the hell out of it. Can you get underneath it anywhere?
No, not that high up.
Yeah, but you might have to rip out like some drywall to get to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but not on
I
the very top
one. I plan on replacing the carpet. Yeah.
You are going to replace the carpet.
Yeah, it needs replaced anyway.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have told you that.
That would have been nice. well,
I feel like Ray all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You mean Rob, Dick.
Except for you own a house.
All right.
So pull all the carpet out. It should end at the top there on the ride, the top of the riser at the top, right?
Yes.
Pull all the carpet out. I guess.
Screw and glue.
Yeah, I don't know about the glue part, but I mean, I guess you can pop all the tackless strip if you want. I don't. They can't use it twice. They're going to have to put new stuff down, right?
Yeah. They won't use it.
They'll
again.
Do it. So why don't you remove all the carpet and remove all the tackless strip and get a clean thing? You'd probably be looking at a bunch of 3/4 OSB, right? Then you're going to see where your stringers go by where the thing is currently nailed off, probably nailed off. They'll probably have a stringer on the right, a stringer on the left, and hopefully one in the middle. Okay? And now it's time to get some heavy-duty Decker kind of screws, right, Ray?
Yeah, and even, you know what, pre-drill it all, too.
I would
just for safety's sake, so you don't bust up the stringers.
The stringers can be busted up. I would pre-drill it. No need to go overkill. Like if you got a 3/4 inch OSB on there or plywood, use a 2-inch screw.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to go crazy.
And drill it. You know, pre-drill it with 3/32 or 1/8 inch or whatever. Test one out, see if it grabs. And when you sink that screw in there, bury it in there, man.
Pre-drill it, and maybe even squirt a little glue in it, you know, and then tamp it a little bit with a hammer, work it down.
It's not gonna hurt it. It's not gonna hurt.
And if you have this opportunity, you don't want to blow it.
Yeah, the glue thing's not really gonna do anything, but I still kind of like the idea of it. So if you really want to go to town, you will pre-drill. All right. You will use a little shop vac and suck out whatever's in the hole. You will take some wood glue,
yeah.
I guess.
Tight bound, whatever.
Couldn't hurt. heat it up in like some warm water or something like that. Squeeze it into the hole so
it
spreads
go.
Out
or
a
like
little
even,
bit.
Or even dilute it a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, you know.
Just get it flowing. If you put it in some warm water and get it warmed up, it'll get flowing.
Yeah, get the viscosity, you know.
Squirt it in the hole. You know, when you squirt it in the hole, then you squirt in the hole and then, like, tap on the hole top with, like, a mallet a little bit. Let it get spread out a little bit down there. And then just take that 2-inch Decker screw and just
suck it.
Suck it right on down. And just hit the hell out of all the stairs. And then you're done.
And then run up and down and, like, check and even go side to side. So if you hear any creaking from one side to the other, wherever it might be, hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. You have an opportunity. Don't just go up and down the middle and then go, okay, I'm good, and then not walk on the side. If it's all exposed, really use it and figure it out.
Yeah, that should be good. You should have 3 stringers. And, anyone who is planning on putting a screw toward the end of a stringer where it gets pointy, which is the stringer's your like rail with the notches cut into it that holds the stair up, you will just pop off the end if you don't pre-drill it.
You got it.
Got it.
Yeah, I would even go inboard a little bit, maybe like 2 inches, so you're not right at the end of that stringer because you will just jack it up. All right.
Even more than 2 inches, because your ply or whatever, your tread or your
well,
riser
do the math
are,
on the tread
the math,
and,
what it is,
and
then
do
send it in.
Yeah, but don't not too much because you're looking for that
bite.
That bite on that area. Ah, speaking of bite, LifeLock, man. Oh, the identity thefts. They're trying to put the bite on your wallet. Donating or reselling an old cell phone, be careful. Thieves can apply scanning technology to find personal info and recreate your identity. That's right, identity theft. America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Family has LifeLock. Kids have LifeLock. Philly Cheesesteak has LifeLock. We all have LifeLock. If you got a problem, their U.S.-based team will fix it, and they'll fix it fast, and they'll make it work. And they don't outsource, man. They are out here. They are U.S.-based. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available, and they're right here in the U.S. of A. And for all the shopping you do online, it starts at just $9.99 a month. Just $9.99 a month. It's LifeLock at $9.99 a month. Matt.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. You got a question there, Matt? What do we got?
Yeah, we got a video question. As always, please email us at aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com to see the video. And this week's is from Garrett.
Garrett's Garage.
Hey, Ray, Eric, and or Adam. Got my laundry room here. Some point, definitely want to finish it, make it look nice. Where I thought I'd start is at least up in the ceiling. I'd like to reroute the dryer vent out to the wall over there, so go up by the window.
Oh, looks like it's in
check
basement.
The dryer instructions, about 12 feet within the range of what you can do with rigid duct. But the question is, if I put that up in this space here between a heat duct and the wall there, I'd ultimately like to close in this duct with some drywall or something like that to make it look consistent. But ultimately, I probably want to have access panels to get up in there because I can run a lot of stuff up to my kitchen, out to the patio, and those kind of things as well. Wondering what your thoughts are on what I could do to make this look finished, you know, like a soffit around the duct, but then maintain access to that whole run along the top of the wall there. Didn't know maybe like ceiling tiles along there, but then how do I work that into the drywall here? Curious to see what you have to think. Thanks. Bye.
All right. He's got what looks like a basement. It's got a poured concrete wall. It's got some, I don't know, 9 by 16 ducting that's rigid that's going along the top. He's got this area behind it about 6 inches wide. So how to wrap? All right. So you make a soffit. You wrap the ducting. You know, what people do is they just use drywall and then they put a corner bead on the outside edge and they tape the inside edge and they wrap it. And, you know, you've seen it 1,000 times. But he wants access.
Which I think is smart, by the way.
Access is smart. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do here for access. I would say...
Would you hinge it the whole run, maybe?
No.
Or partial?
No, I would say off the top of my head, there's a lot of new materials now, like plastic kind of stuff that it can be used as like skylighty stuff, opaque stuff. Like there's a lot of new materials now that can be used. I'm thinking about plastics, but stuff that's got weird like honeycomb-y looks and some that looks like it's been sandblasted, some that's clear, some that's different colors. Like there's,
so you're talking about like the drop ceiling stuff and adding that to it?
I'm talking about doing like a let's talk about it. Let's say you do it like a drop ceiling. You run an L shape all the way down the back wall, right? And then on the outside corner, you put another L-shaped piece, and you, oh boy.
Would you attach it to that ductwork?
I think I would. It's kind of rough there, but I think you can. I think you can attach it to the to the ductwork and then go up and finish it off. And then these things will come in like 4 foot pieces or like 8 foot pieces.
And you can cut them to size?
Rip them on a table saw and kind of put them in place, like kind of gravity held, slide them in, you know what I mean? And then you can pop them out, slide them out. It's a little, the only tough part is really the outside corner by the ducting, by the.
What, the finish of it? Yeah, but you can just bring down a hard wall then to there, you know, and then put your metal
yeah,
to it.
Yeah. You could bring down something hard there. You could even do like a finishy kind of a plywood and paint it or something, and then just have that whole bottom panel
decorative, more
decorative,
or less.
Yeah, that you could pop out.
That would work.
All right.
I'm a little. Maybe I would glue my L metal to the ducting. I don't know if I'd screw through it.
Oh no! If you're doing the L metal and you're going with a rigid to the ceiling, I'd just hang it off the ceiling one.
Okay.
I'd put the L up top and the L at the bottom, use a finished ply, even a half inch, paint it up nice, and then just hang it from the ceiling. All right. Tommy John, man.
Yeah, man.
Spring cleaning. It's here. It starts with the underwear. I'm wearing them right now. Absolutely wearing my Tommy John's. Warm in the pool this morning. I have the Tommy John exchange program. I wear the pair in the pool. I get out. I hang them outside on the hooks I put up there for the towels and whatnot. Then I pop on a new pair. Then the next day when I pop in the pool, I pop on the pair that's already dried, hanging outside. Tommy John, 21st century underwear. Like I said, I'm wearing them now. We all wear them here. State-of-the-art design. Patented fabrics. Eliminates the bunching, the squishing, and the riding up. Plus, complete line of evolved undershirts, form-fitting, lightweight, stay tucked in, very smooth design. Undershirts that were truly meant to be undershirts, not shirts you wear under other shirts, but specifically undershirts. Socks, too, stay up all day long. Backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It's Tommy John, Matt.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and save 20% on your first order with promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right, one last one. Marty, Chicago, installing custom windows. Marty?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, I just make my situation a little more clear. But, I've got a sliding patio door that will pull and
phone's breaking up a little bit there, Marty. You got a sliding patio door. You want to install a new sliding door?
Want to get rid of the sliding door and put in windows.
Okay. What's the outside of the house? What's it covered in?
It's brick.
Okay.
And
you want to frame it out, or you want to do the whole thing, or what do you want to do?
And that's part of it, is I want to boil it out to the side on the bricks and on as well, because I've got some wood framing on the side of the door.
Jesus.
Bigger windows in.
All right, hold on, Marty. Marty's phone is bad. So I'll answer what I can answer. We'll see if it helps him or helps you. As far as the brick goes or whatever you got, siding, stucco's easier. First off, make sure you can match whatever you got going out there. Are they still making that brick? Where do you find it?
And you got to cut into it and lap it, unless you just want it.
That
you
weird
know.
Brick. Yeah, that bad
yeah,
seam. Okay.
That seam.
As far as the framing goes, pretty straightforward. You know, you already got a header in there. I mean, you're blowing out a door that's headed out, so you don't really need to do anything. Double sill, why not? And then, you know, running studs to the header and back and cripples down at the bottom.
Yeah, you're
and
just shrinking out the door. You
yeah.
know, you, whatever
so that,
size.
That part's pretty straightforward. Windows, just make sure it's flashed real good with the bitch thing and everything, and then caulked in real good, you know, expanding foam or whatever when you get it up in there. You only get the one shot at the good weather ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, while everything's done. And
take that shot.
Other than that, you know, You can have stuff made, but if you can just find the size off the shelf somewhere,
way
dual
easier.
Glazed, way, yeah. way easier, way
and
cheaper.
And if you have that big of an opening, I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah.
You know, and then just make it to size.
You got a little leeway. All right. And now, finally, Geico. Mm-hmm. Geico, baby. You want to save a bunch of money on your car insurance? You go with Geico. What do? Well, you hop online. You go to geico.com. 15 minutes, could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So, one more time. Don't even have to leave your house or even get up from your desk. Just go to geico.com. A couple of minutes spent online could save you a whole ton of dough at Geico. All right, let's see. Want to come out to the Spike Show? You can go to AdamCarolla.com and look that up. You can email CarollaQuestions@gmail.com.
Come visit.
Come visit the Spike Show. See how the fudge is packed. Because they say sausage is made, but it's like homoerotic and weird. You know what I mean?
Nothing like fudge.
Everyone loves fudge. So come on out. Bring the kids. See how the fudge is packed. Ray's doing a job over there. Guy's really hitting your stride, man. The projects are looking good.
Thank you.
Say hi to Lynette over at Corolla Drinks. Use the code FOOLS and get $5 off any bottle. She's doing a great job there. The 24-hour war, let's not forget that. And No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager, top of the charts over there on iTunes and Amazon, everything else. So get it over there. Get it at AdamCarolla.com. Click to our Amazon button at AdamCarolla.com and all the good stuff. Hit up Ray at the tweets over there. He'll answer your questions.
Ray Oldhoffer. Thank you.
So, till next time. Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer and Matt DeForest, the Punisher Fondelier, saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.